the Public News Service Daily Newscast, April the 11th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Leaders from across Alabama are banding together in a united effort to combat gun violence and to seek effective solutions.
Alabama has one of the highest rates of gun violence in the country, with 25 gun deaths per 100,000 residents, almost double the national average. Nikisha Tilton with Moms Demand Action says one key contributor is the lack of gun safety protections and programs. She outlines key areas for improvement.
A good ecosystem has several parts. You would have community violence intervention teams that consist of street outreach workers, and also having significant programs for youth.
She says another key part that's missing from the state's ecosystem to reduce gun violence is collaboration among community groups. She calls attention to the work of the Selma Center for Nonviolence, Truth, and Reconciliation as an example. It has reduced homicides by 50% since 2015 through its work. Shantia Hudson reporting.
Meantime, five people arrested and multiple firearms recovered, that after a Wednesday afternoon shooting. It occurred in West Philadelphia. That from WBAL. The shooting unfolded at roughly 2:30 at the Clara Mohammed Square, where about 1,000 people had gathered for a celebration. WBAL reports one woman told a local station there were families, children, and elderly people in attendance for an Islamic religious celebration that marked the end of the holy month of Ramadan. And clean water advocates in Minnesota and around the country are cheering new drinking water standards announced by the Environmental Protection Agency that are tied to so-called forever chemicals.
The EPA unveiled a final rule that, for the first time, sets a legally enforceable drinking water benchmark for PFAS chemicals all states will have to follow. Minnesota Director for Clean Water Action, Ivana Stark, says requiring near-zero levels sends a strong message.
We keep hearing from polluters that it's too hard to stop using these chemicals, and this standard really says, no, actually, this is something that we can do.
There is some concern from operators of public water systems who fret about costs to update facilities. However, officials note there's federal funding to help with the transition. Minnesota recently adopted its own PFAS law, which emphasizes product bans following a 2018 settlement with manufacturer 3M over claims its production of PFAS chemicals damaged drinking water and natural resources. Under the new rule, the EPA estimates between 6 and 10% of 66,000 public drinking water systems around the U.S. may have to take action to reduce PFAS. All of them have 3 years to complete initial monitoring. I'm Mike Moen reporting.
This is Public News Service. Environmental activists are rallying today in Sunnyvale, asking the American company Ruby River Capital, LLC, to drop a lawsuit that the protesters call a grave threat to climate action.
Ruby River is suing the government of Canada after the government denied permits for a proposed liquefied natural gas terminal in Quebec. Clayton Tucker with the Trade Justice Education Fund says the suit initially asked arbitrators to fine the government $20 billion for loss of future profits, but then scaled the request down to $1 billion.
It is not democratic for corporations to have their own private justice system to punish governments for trying to protect the people and the planet. If the people of Quebec or anywhere say, hey, we don't actually want this, then that's democracy. That's how it works.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Similar protests are also taking place today at Ruby River offices in Texas, Delaware, and in Canada. Nursing homes across South Dakota will soon receive a boost in support as part of the most recent legislative session.
Facilities that care for Medicaid recipients are reimbursed by the state for some of the cost of that care. Reimbursement rates have been calculated based on patient needs, occupancy, and what's available in the state budget. Last year, the South Dakota legislature increased that rate from about 75% to 100%. And House Bill 1167 now allows the Medicaid reimbursement rate to be adjusted annually to keep up with inflation and other changes. AARP South Dakota Advocacy Director Eric Nelson says he's glad lawmakers are giving nursing homes attention.
We have seen a number of nursing homes close in recent years, financial considerations were a factor in that, along with workforce and some other issues.
15 nursing homes have closed across the state since 2019. Six of the remaining 98 are in a federal list of facilities that are not meeting basic standards of care. In addition to a lack of funding, the average staff turnover rate is 54%. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Finally, from our Catherine Corley, Advocates for Women Veterans who've experienced sexual trauma while serving in the military are asking state lawmakers for much-needed funding.
Previous legislation backed the creation of two sexual trauma liaisons at community-based organizations in the state, but funding never came to fruition. Executive Director of the Augusta-based Sisters in Arms Center, Rebecca Cornell DeHue, says lawmakers have a chance to help veteran survivors rebuild their lives.
To have a consistent clinician there to provide that trauma treatment to the women veterans in a place that they're safe, I think can really, really support their recovery.
There are more than 10,000 women veterans currently living in Maine.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.